Welcome to Psychic Cowgirl Radio with Shannon Lackman. Practical, insightful conversations to empower and inspire you on your personal journey. From her cattle ranch in Alberta, this sassy psychic cowgirl uses her connections to universal energies to guide you to greater awareness and wisdom.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Psychic Cowgirl Radio. This is Shannon on this lovely Tuesday morning, and I get to have a fabulous guest today. Hi, Kelly.
Hello. Good morning.
This is Kelly's debut with me, and I'm excited. So I'm starting.
We already opened with...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, we already opened with your adorable giggle, which is one of my favorite things in the whole world.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
It helps when you're happy, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So Kelly is my, what's the word I'm looking for? She gets to be the first guest for a series I'm starting called Amazing Mamas, because I have amazing friends that do freaking cool things. And so I'm going to feature them so all of you can find out about them, and maybe you have some cool things you're doing too that you could share. So Kelly's first. Yay!
Wow. What an honor. Thanks, Shannon.
No pressure or anything, hey?
Yeah, no. Such an honor. Oh,
by the way.
No.
Okay,
awesome.
So let's tell everybody how we met, because it's fun.
It's so fun. It's honestly one of my favorite stories to tell. I was nominated for a Fierce Award in the Resilient category last year, and I was at a luncheon for the nominees, and I don't know what I said. I think I said something about, oh, it must be a full moon or something, and Tamara said to me, you need to talk to Shannon. And then I saw you, and I was like, yeah, I need to talk to that lady. And so as the event was winding down, I went over and I spoke with you, and we were talking about why I was there. And then, of course, as mamas do, we started talking about our children and pulled out our phones.
Yes.
And we were showing pictures. And I had to show Shannon a photograph of my daughter wearing her beads of courage. She has cystic fibrosis. And every time she goes to the doctor and has any kind of procedure or anything as it relates to her cystic fibrosis, she gets a bead. And I had to show Shannon that picture. I scrolled through dozens of other pictures that showed just how adorable she was. But she needed to see that picture. And I showed it to her and explained.
Okay, now my turn.
What the beads of courage were. Now your turn, yes.
So that morning when I was getting ready to go to the nominee luncheon, and I went by myself, which wasn't a usual thing for me. Usually I need a partner or someone to go with me, because I tend to be an introvert at a lot of times, and I like to hermit. But I thought, I can be brave. I can do this. And as I was getting ready, one of my beads jumped out at me that I had on my dresser, and it's a lapis lazuli. And I thought, oh, okay, I'll put that in my pocket because it's for confidence and courage. Perhaps I need this today. That's interesting. So I did, but of course I had other rocks, and we'll share where we have those rocks later. And so I went there, and I totally made an ass of myself at the beginning. I don't even know if Kelly knows this, but I spilt my tea all over this nice white tablecloth, and so I tried to move seats, and I got busted by people at my table, and I didn't know anyone. So I was feeling, like, quite dorky when I was there, but you know what? I'm used to it. I just roll with it. And then I got to meet Kelly. And as she was telling me her story, I heard, well, the bead is for her. to give to her daughter. And so I pulled it out of my pocket and said, guess what? I had this in my pocket for you today.
And then I start to cry because what Shannon doesn't know when she's handing me this bead, oh, I think I'm going to start to cry now as I see this. Rowan was about to go for her first surgery just 3 days from the date of that luncheon.
Goodness. That just gave me those shivers.
I know. I love that story. And I think, too, wasn't it, didn't you say it was interesting because usually you grab stones, right? Like, they don't have holes drilled in them. Like, this was a bead
I don't usually grab
that could
beads.
Be strung. Yeah.
Exactly. Because it was unusual
Crazy.
That the bead jumped out at me. I don't even know why I had it in my rock collection because I have all the stones.
Well,
That's
now you
why.
Know why.
Absolutely.
Yeah, love
it. So then
it.
After that, Kelly and I were pals.
Forevermore, forevermore. And remember when we went to part, in my head, I went to say, it was so nice to meet you. And instead, out of my mouth, completely beyond my control, I said, it was so nice to see you again.
Yes, that's exactly what she said.
What soul sister.
And then we giggled.
Yeah. Cool.
It was meant to be completely. Because since
totally.
Then, Kelly and I have gotten to know each other better and better and have lots of conversations and find lots of things in common. And it's fabulous.
It is. It is. Shannon talks me off cliffs all the time.
You've returned the favor.
Aw, oh, thank you. Good, I'm glad.
Okay, so Kelly does some really cool, amazing things, and I'd like you to tell everybody about the Princess Ball.
I'd love to talk about the Princess Ball. I can talk about the Princess Ball all day long, so you're going to have to cut me off, so I'll just warn you in advance.
Okay.
So the Princess Ball, I had heard about similar events from friends that had taken in other provinces. And in October of 2011, I'm on my laundry room floor, curled in a ball, bawling my head off. I did a lot of crying in my laundry room in the early days after Rowan was diagnosed. And, yeah, I was just having a bad day. Some days I'd just have really bad days that were really hard to get through, and I'd shed a lot of tears, and I didn't want my kids to see me sobbing. So into the laundry room I went. And I finished crying, and I took a deep breath, and I walked upstairs and just went right to my computer and created a brochure for the Princess Ball. And, sort of beyond my control. I just went and I did it, and I chose a date, and this was like mid-October 2011, and we had the first Princess Ball in February of 2012. So it came together pretty fast, but you know when you're in the right place and the universe is telling you you're in the right place? It was incredible. I had my dear friend Colette Bell, who has a company called Functional Designs. She just approached me and said, hey, can I help you with the decor for this event? Okay. And other people, just other businesses just were like, can I donate something? Can I donate something? Can I do this? And it just, it really came together so easily. And the tickets sold out in less than 8 hours. And it was a big deal. It was a great success. And then we've had two Princess Balls now, and the event has raised nearly $30,000 for Cystic Fibrosis Canada. And it's just something I'm really proud of, really proud of it.
So tell people what happened at the Princess Ball, though.
So the Princess Ball is an event for children. I whenever people ask me the ages, I always say from 2 to 92. If you're a child at heart, this event is for you as well. Basically, it's in a very fancy ballroom at the Sheraton Hotel here in Red Deer. And you walk into the ballroom in your very best princess attire. So the girls dress anywhere from, you know, in a Halloween princess costume to full-out royal regalia with tiaras and everything. And when they walk in, of course, the room is decorated beautifully. There are princesses, grown-up princesses, fairy tale characters there to greet them. They get to meet Snow White and Belle and Tinkerbell and Rapunzel, anyone you can imagine.
Awesome.
It's very, very magical. It's very magical.
I've seen pictures that you've posted of all the little princesses. Oh, it is. Mm-hmm. Just the energy of it feels amazing.
It's adorable.
What a way for kids to go and have a magical night out in Red Deer. I love it.
Yes. Yes. My favorite story to tell about the Princess Ball was the first Princess Ball. A mom sent me an email afterwards because her daughter had started to cry almost as soon as they got there. And her mom was like, sweetheart, like, what's the matter? Is it too much? And the girl had just turned 4, and she said, no, mama. And she just had her birthday. She just turned 4, and she had a Belle princess-themed birthday party. And when she blew out her candle, her wish was that she would meet Belle, and her wish had just come true.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah, and after the event, I get emails like this from parents all the time, right? Like, it feels so good to know that I created something and all my helpers helped create something that just gives some girls a magical time. And I love that it raises money for Cystic Fibrosis Canada, because of course that is our number one passion. But I also love that we have a program called the Pay It Forward Princess, and this encourages the girls to do good deeds in their community and submit an entry of what they've done, and they have an opportunity to be crowned a Pay It Forward Princess. I don't want the message to be that being a princess is just about a pretty dress, right? We're raising women that could be leaders one day, and being a leader is about giving back to your community and being kind and compassionate and smart and strong. And I have 2 daughters, right? This is an important message that I want to convey to them. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful get to share this message, but then code it in a magical evening that is pretty much every little girl's dream, right?
Right, right. I love that it's an event that people would buy a ticket for, whether it was for charity or not. The fact that they get this charity piece with it, that they get this feel-good takeaway, is just the cherry on top. But they're going to buy a ticket regardless. And that makes, as a person who's now been a part of this world, this nonprofit world, for a couple of years, a little over 2 years, it's hard. It's a hard job. You feel like your hand is out all the time. And so to just have this one moment that's so easy is, it's refreshing. It's wonderful.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because organizing an event like that, wow.
It's big. It's pretty big. But like I said, it attracts a certain type of person that sort of has the same vision. And then it's just kind of easy after that, yeah.
Well,
and maybe because I love it
together.
So much. Yeah. I think because I love it so much. Yes, I followed my intuition. And because I love it so much, it rarely feels like work, right?
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and the girls, I mean, we do it together. Every day, that you know, I probably every day I have my own test group, right? The girls come with me when we set the actors for their costumes, and I'm like, is this person a good Belle? Is this person a good Flynn Rider? And they let me know. They give me, I ask them, this is a surprising question. So we had an opportunity to have two more Belle princess costumes. And my initial instinct was, well, no, we can't have more than one Belle. And when I asked the girls that, they started jumping up and down and clapping that there would be more than one Belle.
Nice.
Right? Like, wouldn't you think, well, no, that will confuse. Like, there's more than one? What do you... But no. Really, why would a little girl complain about too many princesses?
So true. But mm-hmm. I can see as an adult where you'd think, no. See, good thing you have them as your test group, hey? Share with everybody old they are.
Yes. The girls are, Rowan just turned 4 in August, and she is my child that has cystic fibrosis. And Reese will be turning 7 in January. And she does not have CF, but she did just lose her first top front tooth yesterday.
Aw.
Big milestone.
Very big milestone.
Mm-hmm.
So now you all know why I chose Kelly to be my first amazing mama, because she is amazing. I love the passion and the sparkle you have when you talk about the princess ball. I love that you followed those nudges from the universe and just went for it. Because
thank you.
Most people would get those nudges and then let their selves be talked out of it, which does happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you didn't. And considering everything that was going on in your world, you easily could have, right?
Well, you know, I tell people now, my phone just beeped. Could you hear that?
No.
Oh, good. That's good news. I tell people now that now I see it very clearly for what it was, besides a nudge from the universe, which it obviously was, and it was my intuition speaking to me. I also know on an ego-based kind of level, cystic fibrosis is a devastating, degenerative, progressive disease that makes a parent feel so terrified and so out of control that I saw an opportunity to have at least one thing I could control when it comes to this disease, which I, like so many other parents across Canada, we can control how much money we make to find a cure. And
right.
I was just actually at a conference this weekend, and a quote came away from this, and I just love it because it's true. I know sometimes the energy around money is so negative, and so, you know, we attach certain things to it, like greed and that malicious kind of power piece. And this is a fact. Money buys science, and science saves lives. So it's
nice.
it's the way that I feel like at least I have some control, right?
Right. And Kelly and I had this conversation the other day because, you know, there is the energy of pharmaceutical companies that feels like a money grab, right?
Mm-hmm.
With all the commercials on TV and when you go to the doctor, a lot of times they simply want to prescribe some sort of pill. I can't tell you how many of my friends go in for unrelated things and they want to prescribe them antidepressants. Like, give me a break.
Right.
And so
right.
Kelly and I were talking about this because there is that piece of it. But at the same
Huge.
Time, that money that they make does go to research to help find a cure for other things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a straight line. Like, we can bash pharmaceutical companies and be mad about the, you know, feeling like we're manipulated or pushed pills. Absolutely. We get to do that. But at the same
Yep.
time, we also
Yep.
need to recognize that they are doing good things also. And it's up to us to discern which is good for us and which is not, right? It's us taking back our power, not just, you know, doing what we're told. I thank Kelly for pointing that out to me, because I can definitely be on the other bandwagon.
Yes. Oh, before cystic fibrosis was in my life, I was high up on that wagon. I was very anti-pharmaceutical in that whole world. But now I have the honor and privilege of meeting doctors. Just two doctors this weekend I met, where one of them stood up in front of us, and he can remember the exact date that he committed his heart and his passion to cystic fibrosis. The exact date, because he walked into a room on his first day as a new resident, into a room of young people with cystic fibrosis. And within, now this was back in, I think it was 1980, so a while ago. And within months, more than half of those kids with cystic fibrosis had passed. And so these are the doctors that I meet, right? And these are, and they tell us about their young interns. I mean, when you pay this money for these drugs, it's paying for their families. They have families to feed, their doctors,
right.
So they presumably have student loans to pay off, right? Like it's all, it's sort of the circle of life in pharmaceutical land. And I feel like I have to put my energy there and think that way, because it's going to save my daughter's life.
It is. It absolutely is.
Yeah. Indeed.
I profoundly thank you for pointing that out to me, because I, again, like you said, you were before, I do get on the other bandwagon, and I need to stop, or at least pause.
Right.
Right?
I think
they do prescribe unnecessarily at times, but it's also what they know how to do. And instead of taking it as us being victims and saying, oh, well, they prescribed it, I have to take it, we can turn that around and say, no, I don't. It's still my choice.
Yes. Always your choice. Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, you're welcome. No, it was a pretty profound thought for me as well.
Yes. Because we want there to be a cure.
Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, I'm saying this right now on the heels of the fact that there currently is a drug that has been approved by Health Canada. It's called Kalydeco. And it is a drug that corrects the defective protein in a person with cystic fibrosis in their cells. So sadly, when we're talking about genetics, it only corrects a certain mutation, and that mutation is only 5% of the cystic fibrosis population, so not very many people at all. But here's the exciting part.
Okay.
The people that are taking Kalydeco, some of them are reporting that they don't even feel like they have cystic fibrosis anymore.
Really?
Really.
Oh, that makes me want to cry with happiness.
Control. It is so profoundly exciting. Now, the not exciting part is that it's $300,000 per year for this drug.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. But we have amazing advocates working for us, and they say the cost of these drugs is not the patient's problem to bear. And so we're working really hard. As government often can be, I know there's a lot of people across Canada that are wishing and praying and hoping that they will reach their decisions more quickly on how much of this cost is going to be covered provincially. But I'm starting to get into an area that I'm not very informed about.
Okay.
But I mean, the fact is, it's there, it's coming. I really believe in my heart a cure is just around the corner.
Awesome. Okay, so I want you to back up a little bit and
share
how people get cystic fibrosis. Like, where does it show up? How do you know? Like, just give a little bit of general information on that. Like, is it genetic?
Yeah, so cystic fibrosis is a genetic condition. Interestingly enough, it's a fairly common genetic mutation. One in 25 people carry the cystic fibrosis gene. Here's where odds and all that stuff come into play. So if you have, you have to have two parents that are carriers to get a child with cystic fibrosis. And if you're both carriers, then you have a 50% chance of having a child with cystic fibrosis. So that's how it happens. So it's a, it's a genetic disease.
Okay. And and right now there is no total
cure.
There
is no cure. That's there is no cure or effective control. And I think they even, the reason they're not jumping on to say that there's an effective control, obviously because it's only help, this drug is only helping 5% of the population, which is not very many people at all, first of all.
Yes.
And second of all, even those 5% of people, because it is cost prohibitive, they are not getting access to this drug. So it's a great lesson for all of us in the future how important advocacy is, because this could be an issue in the future where we do find an effective control for the entire cystic fibrosis population, but there isn't enough money to make sure that everyone gets it.
Right.
And could you imagine there are people in Canada right now that have this genetic mutation and this drug is literally sitting on shelves collecting dust?
Oh,
yeah.
Now, doesn't that just break your heart?
It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. One of my dear friends is in that situation. Her little boy is the same age as Rowan. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of a heartbreaking disease all around, to be honest.
It is.
Lots of sad stories, for sure. But having said that, the people, the individuals that have cystic fibrosis, I don't know what it is, if it's just they just have the most amazing character I have ever seen. They are so strong. They take it in stride. They live life to the fullest. They live life with urgency. They live life the way we all should, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
They're here to teach us.
Oh. I don't think it's
as
fair.
As are you, my dear. I admire your strength. I admire what you're doing because I get to have conversations with you. I get to know your energy because, well, I am the psychic cowgirl. And I wish that other people could have a little bit of your bravery.
I think it's an easier place to live. I know what it's like to be, I know what it's like to be the opposite, because I did live the opposite for probably about 18 months after Rowan was born. We were just so, it just rocked our world. We were so scared.
Yeah.
We were so, we just didn't know what this would mean for our lives. And it's a tricky grieving process to go through because cystic fibrosis isn't going to go away, right? You have to grieve the loss of the life that you thought you were going to have, which is two healthy children. But there's no end point, right? So it's sort of ongoing and you grow. But I can tell you right now, it's a hell of a lot. Once you make that leap into deciding, not this, this isn't the thing that's going to keep me lying on the floor in my laundry room, it's an easier place to be. Much, much, much better.
Excellent advice. Excellent, excellent.
Thanks.
And that's, again, where your bravery comes in. And that is why you are doing what you are doing. It's not as simple, not that it's simple at all, as, you know, being an advocate for your daughter. You're also being an advocate for everybody going through it.
Mm. Well, thank you. It's a very nice compliment.
It's true.
What I've learned over the last 4 years, too, is whenever I talk to someone that's gone through a traumatic experience, there's just this immediate immediate understanding that trauma is trauma and grief is grief. It doesn't matter what the trauma or the grief is about. It's always
right.
relatable. We always have the stories to tell of the people in our lives that don't get it, the people
yes.
in our lives that help and support us. Like, there's always sort of a similar thread of going through that process. So, you know, if you're going through a grieving process or you're going through a hard time, even if you think someone you know might not be able to relate, if you see someone that seems to have triumphed over an experience like that, talk to them, because they got there for a reason. They did some hard work to get there, and they will be able to relate to you.
Excellent, excellent advice. Now, I want to touch on something else, because next week
mm-hmm.
my show, I'm going to talk about friends and acquaintances and how things evolve, shift, and change. I think we talked about this, but maybe we haven't. I would imagine or assume that when you found out, it shifted a lot of people in your life, because
Absolutely.
It's a well-known fact and pattern that when someone, like when people find out, okay, so when people found out about Rowan and what you were going through, some of them probably dropped out of your life because they didn't know what to say, what to do, how to handle it. And there's also those people who think things like that are contagious. When you go through a divorce, which I have, it's amazing that people that don't want to talk to you anymore after, because for some reason they think if you went through, it's because you've gone through it, they might. Or I don't
right.
know what it is, but I would assume
yeah.
that similar energy, right? Whenever anybody goes through any real hardship, people sometimes
yeah.
just disengage because they don't know how to be. So how did you handle that? Because I'm sure that's huge, huge, huge.
That by far was probably one of the most painful parts of the process, particularly because before Rowan was diagnosed, the woman you're talking to right now, like that was kind of pre-diagnosis Kelly. Like I really did live in a land of unicorns and rainbows, right? But part of that was simply that I had led I had already had a really blessed life. My parents are still married. I grew up in your typical small town with the small town community feel. I'd had
a
pretty
music career.
Secret now, music career. Yeah, I'd had a lot of wonderful, fortunate things in my life. And so I think for a lot of the people in my life to suddenly see this very, very sad and scared. You know what I think? I think fear has a smell. I think fear is so, and that's really what that was the biggest hurdle to get over. I mean, imagine, go back to when you had a newborn child and the fears
mm-hmm.
that you feel.
Oh,
no
yes.
cystic fibrosis, no conditions, nothing, just a regular newborn child. Remember how many times you woke up in the night to go check that your baby was still breathing?
Yes, absolutely.
Now imagine that you have a real reason to be afraid.
It
a real
compound.
Concrete, tangible reason to be afraid. So now when I look back on the people that sort of extricated themselves from our lives, I see that they didn't know how to handle with the fear, and because they projected the fear onto their own lives. And I have forgiven them. I mean, I
yes.
get it. I get that
yeah.
they were afraid and they didn't know how to handle my fear. And I also get that our journey together was done. Yeah.
And when people don't
it
know
didn't
what
mean
to
it didn't
say,
hurt.
They disengage.
Yes. Yeah. And it didn't mean that it didn't hurt like hell by at the time. It really
Absolutely.
By far was the most, other than the fear, and I mean the fear that sort of eroded my marriage a little bit at the time.
Mm-hmm.
The fear that I felt and the way my friends, some certain friends reacted was definitely the most painful. So, yeah, great question. Great thing to talk about for sure. I think it's really hard for people to know what to say. And I personally, when people say, I don't know what to say, then just say, I'm sorry. I don't know what to say.
Yes.
just but I'm here for you.
Sympathetic and saying, acknowledge that they're going through something completely shitty and horrible. That's all you need to do. You don't need to have the answers.
Yeah.
You don't need to, you know, rescue them because you can't.
No.
But just acknowledging that they're in a place of pain, that's all you have to do.
Yes.
And maybe
do
buy them
not.
A coffee latte.
Well, yeah, a little something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And do not explain all of the ways it could be worse. That really
true.
Isn't that the worst?
Ugh. Isn't that? That totally pisses me off.
Me too.
Because
me too.
You know what that does energetically? It cuts the person off and, like, quit whining. You could have it worse.
Yeah.
It doesn't, it's telling you that you don't get to feel what you're feeling.
Right.
And I realize people aren't doing it for that reason. They're trying to lift you up, but it does completely the opposite. So if you're a person that does that, stop it. Unless you're making it as
don't
a joke.
Don't do it.
Like, unless you can make it into a joke and say, well, and then you both can have a good giggle. If you're doing it that way, that's fine. But don't. Because all you're doing is negating that other person's feelings and emotions. And that, my friends, is cruel.
It's very cruel. And it also negates part of me that I appreciate the fact that I look at the glass half full. But now you're telling me that I'm not. And
exactly.
I do. I live there. Yeah. I live there every day. But I'm coming to you as a friend to say, today I'm not there. Today I'm having a hard day.
Today sucks.
Today sucks. Today I just heard about a 9-year-old that died from cystic fibrosis. So today I want to be sad.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you get to, like, that's one of the things that, you know, we talk about on this radio show a lot is whatever you're feeling, feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Get right into the messiness of it. Do what you need to do to feel it, to work through it, and to let it go. Because if you do not, it will come back.
Absolutely.
And each time you do it, which I'm sure Kelly knows very well, each time you do the process, like, just get in there and feel it and be messy, have your hissy fit, swear, jump up and down, do whatever you need to do the next time, because there always is a next time. It's easier.
Yes.
Right? We're not here to be lollipops, unicorns, and rainbows, as Kelly learned. We're here to experience, no matter what that looks like. And
right.
It makes us stronger and more confident every time we go through something. It's just simply
Absolutely.
How it is.
Absolutely.
You can resist it all you want, but it's not going to work. Right, Kelly?
Resistance is futile.
So true.
One thing that really helped me was writing. I think if anyone feels compelled to write, and you don't have to, like, start a big blog and put it all out there.
No.
Although for me, it happened totally by accident. I was a mortgage broker before. I wanted to grow my mortgage business, and that's why I started the blog. And then when I started talking about cystic fibrosis, my blog's a little different. I rarely talk about Rowan in terms of her health and her procedures and all of I rarely talk about what Rowan's going through because I don't really know what she's going through. She's 4. She'll let me know. She's letting me know more and more every day. But I do know what I'm going through, and I do know what healing a broken heart is like. And it was so wonderful. As soon as I started doing that, the number of people that have sent me emails and messages and commented and just come up and give me a hug the next time they see me, it's so cathartic and it's so
nice.
Rewarding.
Mm-hmm. I totally am on board for writing blogs. I mean, if you don't want to put it out there, you don't have to. Absolutely journal yourself. But here's what I love about a blog is because other people will find it and read it who resonate with it. And we all need someone who understands us. You know, if you went and looked at our basic needs, having someone that can acknowledge and understand you should be at the top.
It's pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty darn close, that's for sure.
Feeling alone is the worst.
It's very painful. very painful. And any time, I mean, not going to lie, like since I picked myself up off the laundry room floor, again, it's not all been sunshine and unicorns. But it always seems like every time I've kind of been like, I can't do this anymore, it's too hard, it's too, you know, being a part of Cystic Fibrosis Canada brings much more cystic fibrosis into our lives beyond Rowan's condition.
Right.
And so there have been days where I sort of feel like I've opened a Pandora's box and I wish I could shut it and make it go away. And it almost seems like every time I have one of those days, and there haven't been many, but there have been some, every time I have a day like that, I get a message from a new diagnosed mom who says, this always makes me emotional when I talk about it, Shannon, who says, I'm so grateful that you said these things that I'm feeling, because you think dark thoughts, Shannon, right?
I would imagine.
It's not, you know, you think about your baby dying a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And you think about guarding your heart because, I mean, think about that love you feel, that newborn love. There's no love like it. And you're scared to love. It's a very painful time. And they reach out to me and they say, thanks for saying it. I felt that, and I'm grateful that I'm normal.
Exactly right, that you're normal. Because, of course, you're going to think these things. That's, you're human, the end.
Right. Period.
And it does
yeah, you're
suck.
Right. Indeed.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
And we all just want
to
reach out and give you a big hug, Kelly.
Oh, I feel it. Thank you.
This is why I think Kelly's amazing, because, you know, when you talk to her and have conversations, and anybody of you, any of you that are going through this kind of stuff, you can find Kelly. She's on Twitter.
Find me. Yeah.
Has a blog. I think I forgot to post it on the description for this show. But so tell them where to find your blog, and how can they find you? If they were going to go Google, what would they Google?
Finding Fearless. So my blog site is www.finding-fearless.com, and my handle on Twitter is @findin-fearless. Someone already had the G, so I had to let go of that. But yeah, I'd love to hear from people. That would be awesome. Or go check out the blog. And you know what? I don't think my journey only relates to cystic fibrosis. If you kind of feel like you're recovering from a broken heart, I think that's kind of, or I think that's
finding
the journey that I've been on.
Yourself, right?
Yes.
That
yes.
inner
For sure.
Inner core strength. So on that note, let's talk about a little project we are working on together.
Oh, I could talk about that one all day long, too.
Good.
So Shannon and I are, and my other colleague, Marianne Hammond, are creating a retreat called Release Retreat. And I think I told you this, Shannon. I read a blog post from Molly McCord one day that just kind of said, now's the time. Like, if you're feeling like your intuition's tugging at some inspiration, now's the time to do it, to start anyway. And it happened last winter, and I just madly started typing about the fact that I do think it's amazing to try to pursue big, beautiful dreams, but I think our attitude of consumerism and our attitude of, and the way the media sort of feeds us that we're never enough sort of makes us, you know, set these big, beautiful dream goals, but at the cost of our present. And I want to teach people, I mean, I'm quite proud to say I live most of my life completely in the present, completely in the now, and I soak up everything, and I try my best to keep my life calm. It's okay to have a calm life. I think busy is a four-letter word, and busy is toxic. And so it's just a retreat about some steps and some pieces to work through to, first of all, start tapping into being your most authentic self, to live your most authenticity every single day. Some steps to sort of undo all the hurts and things that have happened in our lives that sort of keep us protecting our authentic selves.
Mm-hmm.
Some tools to live in the moment, to live in now, to set. Would I like to live in a treehouse in Belize and work from there? Yes. Do I think my life is less than because I don't? No. And I really think some people do. I think they sort of, you know, complain how shitty their lives are because they're not in a treehouse in Belize. And I want to give people tools to sort of honor and respect where they are at right now and appreciate right now.
Because
and release
practical.
The garbage. It is practical.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's true. Sure, wouldn't we all like to be in a treehouse in Belize? Well, not really me. I don't really like the beach. But anyways.
Well, I, honestly, and I say that, and I realize it would be like, it has to be like a glass bubble because I'm kind of scared of bugs and like rainforest.
Then the practical aspect comes in, right? But you can attach yourself to that, and my life would be great if only, if only. If only I had this, if only I did this, if only this was happening. So then you're totally ignoring the beautiful life you have right at this moment.
Yep.
Because what if
and I
other
think the universe
never happen? Do you want
to
live the rest of your life?
If only.
Just hoping and wishing and not living?
Yeah. And I think the universe sends you more if only. Right? The universe is like, well, she really seems to like to think that way, so let's just keep sending her reminders of why she thinks her life is crappy now.
It's true, because that's what you focus on, right? What if you make peace with your life exactly how it is in this moment, it just gets better.
Absolutely. And it's the simple things in life, right, that enrich us. I mean, I have, over the last 2 years, I have had some really profoundly amazing things happen to me, for sure, but nothing compares to a child climbing up on my lap and putting their lips right up to their ear and saying, I love you.
Aw, isn't that true?
Nothing compares to that, and that's happening right
now. Nothing does.
Yeah.
Yes. Or hanging out with your children when they discover something new or something they can do that they didn't know they could. Oh,
mm-hmm.
I love that. How
love
their
it.
Energy just lights up. We lose that.
And
in
a lot
battle.
Of people miss that. Yes.
Yes. And we lose that because we do it. Don't you feel amazing when you figure out something that you didn't know before? And you feel
love
so
it.
Smart and like a superhero?
Completely.
Kids
remind
us.
I love aha moments. Yes. Yeah, they do. And they live them so authentically, right? It's like they're not, it's almost like they're not even surprised by them. They expect amazing things to happen. And so they
absolutely.
Do. Like children are living, breathing examples of the law of attraction.
Yes.
My daughter is, she is like, she should be the poster child. Last year for the princess ball, my mom buys the girls their princess ball dresses every year. And
aww.
So they were at grandma's and they were sitting in front of her computer and the girls wanted the same dress, but Rowan wanted hers to be pink and Reese wanted hers to be purple. And then a few days after the dresses were ordered, Reese said, Mama, I changed my mind. I want my dress to be pink. And I said, honey, it's too late. The dress has been ordered. It's probably on its way already. And when the dress arrived, it was pink.
No way.
That stuff happens to Reese all the time. All the time.
She's an expert manifester.
She's an expert manifester. But she just does it from a place of authenticity, right? She's a kid.
Because
she
doesn't
she's
have to think
like,
about it. She just makes it happen in the end.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no fear.
There's no self-doubt.
Yeah.
Just how it is.
Totally how it is. Yeah, love it.
I love it. So this retreat that Kelly's putting together is going to be in April, and it will be in Red Deer, and it's a one-day retreat, correct?
That's correct, yes. For now, I mean, talk about big, beautiful dreams. My big, beautiful dream is I would love to have weekend retreats one day where you just come and you rejuvenate and you rest and all of that. But for now, we'll just start with one
baby
day.
Steps.
We'll start slow.
Absolutely.
Baby steps. Yeah. And my end goal is really that people find tools to live more authentically, to release any sort of negative thought patterns or negative attitudes that they have about their lives and where they're at, and some tools. That's the big thing. Lip service is
yes.
lip service. We
yes.
can read these things and everything, but I want everyone to walk away with really, truly effective tools. I have realized that I've always struggled with my weight. And sometimes it was an imaginary fight. Sometimes there was no weight to be battling. And sometimes there has been real weight. But what I realized, it never was about the number on the scale. And it was always about how I felt about myself.
Yes.
And so there are going to be steps that will get you to the point where you truly embrace loving yourself and realizing that that's the path to an authentic life, right? You can't. It's hard to stay halfway in between. You have to really be ready to dive in head first.
Yes.
And then to have the tools to stay there.
Yes. And it's easier than people think, too. Once you take those
Absolutely.
First steps, it just all flows together, and it's way easier.
Yeah. Way easier.
We need to take a step back from all the distractions, right? All the things we use to not look at ourselves and our life and the choices we're making.
Mm-hmm. And to check ourselves, right? I mean, I think especially women, the biggest, one of the biggest obstacles to get to that true place of self-love is the asshole that lives in our heads and verbally
yes.
abuses us. And the tools to turn that off. And I mean, Is the guy still rattling around in my brain? Absolutely. I definitely have those days, but now I feel really, he's quieter, right? And he kind of says it like that bully on the playground, like, well, you're stupid. Like, you know, like not with a lot of authority
yes.
anymore. I can shut him up pretty fast. But it was a process for sure. But making that first leap to saying, hey, shut up, was a lot easier than I ever would have imagined.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge, very, very, very huge.
And there's just no reason. I mean, the asshole in the head does a good job of convincing us that that's where we need to stay, that that's where we need to be. But there's no reason to live there. There's no reason
no.
to wallow in that, because the only person that is hurting is yourself and maybe your husband.
Yes.
Husbands like strong, the right husbands anyway, they like strong, confident, self-assured women. If, you know,
yes.
if my husband and I are going to fight ever, it's when Kelly's feeling weak and insecure and unsure. For sure.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us the date of the Princess Ball, in case some listeners want to go.
Well, first and foremost, this is very important because sometimes people lose this piece. Tickets go on sale at Parkland Mall here in Red Deer. They are only available at our ticket sale. They start selling at 9 a.m. November 21st. The event sells out fairly quickly. Yeah, just next Thursday, a week from this Thursday. And tickets are $50 a piece for a regular admission ticket, and that is for anyone from just a newborn to 100 years old. You require a ticket, a regular admission ticket. Or if you want to step it up a notch and get a little fancier, we also offer, this year we're selling 20 VIP tables at $600 a piece. And with the VIP tables, you just get a little extra experience. You get a beautiful take-home gift, a little bit of swag, maybe bordering on a lot of sugar kind of treat. and you're all, every single princess in the VIP section gets a place card that has their name on it. So in my kids' case, of course, it would say Princess Reese or Princess Rowan.
Right.
And then the actual ball is on February 15th, 2014 at the Sheraton Red Deer Hotel.
Nice.
In their beautiful Tuscany ballroom.
So if you have a little princess that would enjoy this experience, you need to get on it. And you have a Facebook page for your princess ball too, correct?
Yes. And in a search, it's a really successful fan page. We actually only use social media to market, so it's a really effective way to market. And it's just the Princess Ball.
Nice.
Period. Yeah.
Nice.
So if you're from out of town or if you are not going to be able to make the ticket sale, don't despair. There will be other opportunities to either win tickets. Many of our sponsors actually take a pair of tickets and give them away on their fan pages. Or we'll also have some more auction opportunities, some live online auctions on our Facebook fan page.
Excellent.
Yeah. Oh, I should mention as well, just going back to tickets, and if you can't attend the ticket sale, the Parkland Mall is offering their Princess for a Day package again. We're not sure yet if it's going to look the same as it did last year. Parkland Mall, I can't say enough about them. They are a tremendous, tremendous supporter of ours. And they put together these little packages where they get a dress and a tiara and some pearls and a hairdo, and their vendors in the mall that have these services and these products offer them to the princesses. And then, of course, it comes with a pair of tickets. So stay tuned for those auctions as well. Yeah.
Okay, so
that's pretty
cool.
So
all this will show up on your Facebook page, right, if people just go to the
Princess Ball
page?
Yeah,
go ahead. Okay. It's cool, and it raises money. And think of how much those little girls get out of this experience. So adorable. It makes me want to have, I wish I had a little girl. I have threatened some friends, little girls, just to come.
Maybe, yeah, kidnap a daughter or something. I love that it's exposing the kids in our community to philanthropy and giving back to their community.
Yep.
And in just the littlest, tiny ways. That's what I love about Pay It Forward Princess, too, is they learn that it doesn't have to be much. You know, one little girl last year, I think she took her allowance for a couple of weeks and bought food for the food bank. And,
aww.
You know, there's lots of organizations that need help in Central Alberta or, you know, all over the place. And,
yes.
You know, I think an older girl, I think she was about 8 or 9, did some volunteering at the SPCA. And this is the message I always hope that people take away from when they hear me speak. Would I love it if you sent me a message or called me up and said, hey, Kelly, I want to volunteer for Cystic Fibrosis Canada. Amen. I would love that. But if you're getting any nudges or intuitions or you just think, oh, maybe this Christmas I should do something, just give back. Find a cause that you're passionate about and just do something. It feels good, and it creates good.
It does. It creates a ripple effect.
Yes.
So, Kelly, the lady in our head on Blog Talk is telling us 60 seconds. So I can tell Kelly a little bit. She said, in a whole hour, what are we going to talk about? I'm like, Kelly, we've already been chatting on the phone for an hour that day. We were talking about that. So look at how fast this went by, didn't it?
So fast. That was fun. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming on and being my first amazing mama. I'm going to continue this series. So thank you, everybody, for listening, and I hope you all check out Kelly. I will post some links on my fan page and my website so you can find her that way if you'd like. And enjoy the rest of your week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to Psychic Cowgirl Radio with Shannon Lackman. Practical, insightful conversations to empower you on your personal journey. For more information, to connect with Shannon directly, visit psychiccowgirl.com. That's psychiccowgirl.com.